and they were filled with the Spirit again. So I'm going to suggest to you, at age 16, 2 years after I was believed, and trust me, the way this plays out in the book of Acts, there was just generally a very short gap. And we say, laid hands, prayed over them, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. It usually is accompanied with water baptism. And if you don't, if you're not familiar with that, look at Hebrews chapter 6. Six fundamentals of salvation, the teachings of Jesus, repentance and faith. And all three of these are grouped in pairs, repentance and faith. Then he says baptism and the laying on of hands. And then he talks about the resurrection and judgment. All of them have to do with salvation, but they're grouped that way because how do you get saved? Faith and repentance. What's the follow-up on that? You're supposed to be water baptized and the laying on of hands to receive the Spirit. That's the type of laying on of hands he's talking about. If I am saved, what happens at the end of my life, at the end of the age? There is a resurrection and you are judged. Laying on of hands was very common to receive the Spirit, generally with water baptism. That's why they're coupled. Not always. Here's the funny thing. You can go through this. There's no formula that you can pick out. No formula at all. Sometimes it was before water baptism. Sometimes after. Sometimes there was laying on of hands. Sometimes there wasn't, but generally there was. And they prayed. And so my point is this. So we're baptized in the Spirit, but there's this idea of regularly being immersed or filled with the Spirit. This is what we want to walk in because we're in the world. We're in the filth of the world, and we need this regular filling of the Spirit. Even Paul, filled with the Spirit, said to Elymas, God filled him. Peter said to the Sanhedrin, and the Spirit of God came upon him with greater power, filled him, and spoke through him. That's what I want to see in my life regularly. That's what I want to see. I remember a young man, I'm going to close with this, because we want to have communion and we've got a game night. Gentleman by the name of Josh Mullins, and I've shared this story with you before, but here's, I want to highlight something different. I remember as I was going to SSC, a local college here, I wanted to start a ministry there. I understood what I wanted to do, and I wanted to know how do I do this? What paperwork do I have to fill? So I go into the student, I think it's a student center, big circular desk, and I'm talking to this young lady, and she's asking me some questions, and this young man keeps coming in and out, like, dude, you get the, whatever you need, get it the first time. He was like five times. I'm just thinking, and he would go in, and he was like, he'd go back, and he'd come back, and he would do whatever he's listening. I'm just thinking, he wants to hear what I'm saying, or some, I don't know. And he then, after like the fifth time, he just stops and he says, so tell me, what are you going to do here? And I said, well, I want to start something, and it's just basically questions that students have. Is there a God? How do I know there's a God? Is the Bible reliable? If the Bible is reliable, is there really a heaven and a hell? Is Jesus really the Son of God? Is what he said really accurate? Is this book, when it talks about Jesus, did Jesus really rise from the dead? And if I believe in him, does that change my life in any way? And why do I even need to be rescued from my sin? And I'm just kind of walking him through some of this. And he said, and he starts asking me some questions. And he said, well, I'm sorry, I got to go, but I'd like to talk to you again sometime. And I said, well, great, let's do that. And I set up a time, we ate lunch. And I said, I'm going to give you a book, just a short little book, 100, 125 pages. I want you to read it. And when we sit down for lunch, I just want to see what you think about it. So I did that. I gave him the book. I saw him in school one day, and we got together maybe a month later, and we sat down, and I just kept pressing him, question after question, and I said, Josh, you have rejected Jesus Christ, and the Lord just gave me the right questions to ask. I was not profound in what I said to him. I probed him with gracious but pointed questions. And I'm going to say to you that that was the anointing of the Spirit. Now, often you think, well, it's just really an anointing, and so you preach to them and they get saved. That's not what happened. I just asked him questions. But I asked him enough questions so that he wanted what I was saying. And I said, so Josh, do you want to give your heart to Jesus today, right now? Forget about the people in the restaurant here, right now. And he said, no. And I said, okay, Josh, please understand. Today, you have told me you are rejecting Jesus Christ. And I want to pray for you. Because this is serious. You're not just saying, I'm not sure. You're saying no, and you're rejecting him. I get a phone call a year later. I haven't heard from Josh in forever. I've not even seen him. And he calls, and he starts talking with me, and he says, so is this Mike Curtis? I've had prank calls before, so I'm testing. Yes, who is this? Well, this is Josh Mullins, and I couldn't place the name. Josh Mullins, yes. How do I know you, Josh? You know me from school, and you took me to lunch. Oh, Josh, yeah. And he shared with me his testimony that he had recently given his heart to Christ. And he said, Mike, thank you, because you were part of that. And I would say, I was a part of it just simply because I asked you a ton of questions. You know, and sometimes I'm sharing this with, and he eventually wanted to go to seminary and into ministry. But I'm sharing this with you because, guys, sometimes the anointing of the Spirit is just us asking the right questions. It is simple as that, asking the right questions. Paul asks the Philippian jailer, you know, the Philippian jailer, asked him, so what must I do to be saved? And can you imagine how that conversation went? I mean, he just witnessed a miracle, not to get into it. And sometimes, guys, we're just needing to ask people the right questions. Ask the right questions. So I want to close, and I want us to, tonight, I want us to just step back, and I want us to weigh where we're at in all of this. And if there's someone who can get the kids and bring them in, that would be great. But am I right now at a place where I am eagerly a witness for Christ? Have I even experienced this? Have I even experienced salvation, much less the filling or the immersion in the Spirit, and for God to use me now? What an exciting journey this has been for me over the last 50 years. 49 years and 11 months, sorry. You know what? Amazing. Being a witness for him. I did a terrible job starting out. Terrible. But God managed to use those words. But 2 years later, he filled me with his Spirit, baptized me in his Spirit, and I began witnessing every day. I loved telling people about Jesus because I loved the people. And so maybe tonight, right now, maybe you don't even know Jesus. So you need to experience salvation. God can do that right now. Those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, rescue me. I turn away from this lifestyle. I'm following you today. That's the commitment he's looking for. He'll take care of the rest. Or maybe you're saved and you're just saying, God, I just want to be immersed in your Spirit. I want you to use me. I want everything. You know, when you look at this vacuum cleaner right here, it actually has off, and the on is not just on. There's two settings. There is the suction, and then there's the barrel. And I'm going to tell you, I wanted to turn this on, but I wasn't sure if Mary Smith would be able to handle it. Well, she's not here right now, but I'm done. I just wanted to, you know what, so often, people who they're saved, and that's it. They're working on the suction mode here. I need to tell you, there's a whole lot more to this. This is a great vacuum cleaner, by the way. I'm not here to sell it, but this is a great vacuum cleaner. For me to turn it on, it's one push. It clicks twice. There we go. If it were plugged in, power at the suction and the barrel brush, operating the way it was created to be used. God created us not just to experience his power of life, but the power of witness. So I'm just going to close in prayer right now. I'm going to invite you, if you're not saved, cry out to him. If you are, be received as Spirit. And if so, maybe tonight you want a refreshing. So, Father, I just ask, Spirit of God, that you would move in our midst and that you would speak to hearts, and that those who have yet to experience salvation, God, they would cry out to you right now in their own words, rescue me, God, from my sin. Pull me out of it. Clean me up. And I want to serve you. Help me do that, God. I need you. And for those who have never experienced his baptism, just say, God, I want your Spirit right now be poured out upon me. For all of us, God, this is our cry. Fill me again with your Spirit. We're about to partake in communion. I want to be refreshed with your Spirit tonight, God. I want to experience that power every day right now. I feel like I'm going through that fire and it's refining me, but I am so wearied. I just ask you, Father, take away that weariness. And once again, immerse us in your Spirit. Would you do that, God, in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. And I'm just going to encourage you tonight. If you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, because you have not, you've not had someone lay hands on you, we would love to do that. I would love to lay hands on you and pray for you. We're going to do communion right now, but afterwards we'd love to do that. There's nothing magical about it. It's just an obedient response to the word. On the night Jesus was betrayed, it says that he took the bread and he broke it. And this was his life. This was what he was sacrificed and giving to them. And he said, I want you to partake of this bread. Why? Because Jesus, church, Jesus was the bread of life. And whoever partakes would have life in his name. And so, Father, I just pray, would you bless this bread as it would represent that life to us as we partake of it. Jesus, thank you that on the cross, like this bread, you were broken for us. Bless it now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture says he also took the cup and was the blood of the new covenant in his name. And this cup represented the forgiveness of all of sins. Sacrifices were done in the past. He was the ultimate sacrifice, the one, the God-man whose blood was shed and who eventually then died on the cross. And that blood is now to wash away my sins. Life, blood, for life. That's what this represents. Jesus gave his life for you. Jesus laid it all down for us. And I just ask your blessing on this cup, Lord God, that it would speak to us and remind us of the sacrifice of Jesus that has washed away every sin in our lives. Bless it in Jesus' name. So here's what we're going to do.